Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on 2 days in the life of Jesus was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's go back to Matthew's account of this in verse 26, and when the 12 disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now think about this. If Jesus just didn't want them to be afraid, the previous verse said they cried out in fear, they were troubled. And if Jesus just wanted them not to be afraid, why didn't he just still the storm, stop the problem? And it says over in John's account of this, John chapter 6, that the boat and all of the disciples were translated to the other side of the lake. Why didn't he just still the storm and translate them all over to dry land, and wouldn't that have stopped their fears? Why did he tell them to be of good cheer and not to be afraid? Because you know what? It's only through the power that works in us that God is able to move. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." If there isn't any power working in us, if there isn't the power of faith, God cannot move in your life without some response of faith. Some people take offense at that and think, well, you're saying God can't do something. Well, the Bible says he can't lie. And it doesn't matter whether you say he can't or won't. He is not going to move in your life unless you take a step of faith. And I could verify this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in Scripture. You know, some people bring up to me, I believe it's John chapter 7, where Jesus raised the widow's son from the dead at Nain. And they say, well, what faith was involved there? Jesus just performed a miracle and raised a person from the dead, and there was no faith. Well, let me ask you this. He went to this funeral procession. The mother was weeping, and he walked up to the mother and he says, "Weep not." If he just wanted to stop her weeping, why didn't he just raise the boy from the dead? That would have stopped her from weeping. Why did he go to the woman and tell her not to weep before he solved her problem? Because she needed to take a step of faith. And I don't know about you, but I've had some situations. You know, people get really touchy about funerals. I was kidnapped. Jamie and I were kidnapped one time because a family thought I was going to try and raise their boy from the dead. And so they kidnapped us so we couldn't show up. I've had things happen. I know people get really touchy. And for Jesus to go up to this woman and say, "Weep not," I can guarantee you they tried to stone Jesus on other occasions. They would have tried to stone him this time if that woman had not responded positively to him. If she would have taken offense and say, "How dare you say this to a person who just lost their only son? You're insensitive. You aren't feeling my pain." Boy, all she would have had to do is do something and people would have tried to stone him. But the very fact that there was zero resistance shows that this woman must have responded. Either she had heard of Jesus and recognized who he was, or maybe it was just the anointing and the power on his words or something. She responded in faith. And that's the reason he went to her and said, "Weep not." Because he needed somebody to believe. It's according to the power that works in us. All things are possible to him that believes, but when the Lord comes, is he going to find faith? Somebody's got to be believing. Things don't happen without faith. There's got to be a response of faith. And so Jesus came walking on the water and would have passed by them. He was saying, "Here I am, guys. Do you want my help?" And if they hadn't cried out for help, he'd have just kept on walking. And finally, they cried out in fear. And he says, "Don't be afraid. It's I. Be not afraid." Why didn't he just solve their problem? Because he wanted them to be of good cheer and to resist fear before their problem changed. Boy, this is powerful. You've got to get into faith before the problem is solved. not after. Anybody can praise God on the other side of the Red Sea after you're dry and after the Egyptians are defeated. It's faith on the short side of the Red Sea when the Egyptians are coming down on you to say, "Stand, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of God." Man, it takes faith to praise God before you cross the Red Sea. But see, most of us are waiting until all of our problems are over. The Lord told them before He solved the situation, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Be of good cheer, it's I. Be not afraid." They had to have some faith. Some of you are in the midst of a storm, a situation right now, and you're praying, but you're praying out of fear, you're praying out of desperation. And you know what the Lord is saying to you? That you need to be of good cheer. You need to take some faith. You need to exert some faith. You need to begin to believe God right now before you see the thing happen, before the doctor confirms that you've been healed. Rejoice and act right now like you would once the doctor says it. Get as excited when God says it as when the doctor says it. Man, if you rejoice more once you get the doctor's report in your hand than you do when God speaks to you, that's the reason that you aren't seeing the deliverance. If you are going to rejoice more once you see your financial miracle and you're totally out of debt, and that's when you're really going to rejoice, instead of right now by faith, that's the reason you'll never get out of debt. You got to learn how to believe God in the midst of crisis. You got to be able to see by faith. You know what? Once we see this project completed, anybody can rejoice then. I'm rejoicing right now. I'm excited right now. I'm confessing my faith right now. I'm being of good cheer right now. Amen. Boy, these are powerful, powerful things that I'm saying. There is so much in this passage. I've meditated on this thousands of times, and I'm just giving you a real quick summary of some of these things. But these things apply directly to you and your situation. God is going to call you to do something that is impossible. And you will be fought against by the devil. If the devil's not fighting you, it's because you're doing what he wants you to do. If you never bump into the devil, it's because you're both headed the same direction. If you turn around and start swimming upstream, there's going to be resistance. You've got to recognize that when God tells you to do something, there is going to be potential for failure. You know, when we started on television, it was a big decision because for the first time in our ministry, we had actually gotten to where we were paying our bills on a regular basis. We were making ends meet. We actually had some money in the bank. It wasn't a lot, but we had money in the bank for the first time in our ministry. It looked like we were going to live and not die. And we were at a place where it was good. Life was good. And God told me to go on TV. And you know what? I knew that TV was expensive. And I knew that we could kill ourselves. I had, at that time, been in ministry for 31 years. And I could have killed it all in 1 year's time. We started on television and our budget for just TV alone, not including all of the staff to produce it, the TV airtime was $26,000 a month the first month we went on. And it was about 8 to 10 months before we started generating money to pay for it. And so 10 months of $26,000 a month would have been over $250,000. And you know what? Our entire income at that time was only around $250,000 in a year. It was like we were rolling the dice. And either I heard from God or we are going to die. And you know what? We just decided to go that direction. But there was potential for absolute failure. And there was a question and a thought about, God, you know what? I've been stressing and straining and stretching for 30-something years. We're finally making it. I think I could just stay here and God would still love me. And you know what? He would have. God wouldn't have been mad at me. And I'd have had rewards to the degree that I'd obeyed Him. But you know what? When God spoke to me, I knew that this was God telling me. And we were ready to take everything that we had worked for 31 years and just put it on the line and go for it. And we started that process. And then the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and told me that if I would have died prior to going on television, January the 3rd, 2000, that I never would have fulfilled His will. Everything I'd done for 32 years was all preparation for this. And I just really started doing what He told me to do January the 3rd, 2000. That's what He told me. And you know what? That was discouraging and encouraging all at the same time, because it had been good up till then. And if I was just getting started, that meant something good was coming. But also, it's like, man, 31 years and I hadn't even started yet. But it turned to be true. Our ministry at that time, I mean, we were getting $250,000, $300,000 a year. Now we have to have nearly $2 million a month. We were reaching a few people. Now we're reaching, we got 2.2 billion people that can get my television program on a daily basis. Not all of those watch, but that's the potential audience. It is miraculous what God has done. God is changing people's lives, and it's because we were willing to keep going. When God spoke to us, we started rejoicing and being of good cheer and believing God when we were in the situation that could have killed us. And we just started trusting and believing God. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, this is a recipe for every one of us. You have to hear from God. And God is going to lead you to do something that looks like it could kill you. God's not going to lead you to do something that you can do. If you can do it, God isn't in it. If you can do it without God, then it's not God. God will always cause you to do something that is bigger than you so that you'll have to depend upon Him. God is not a small thinker. God is a big God. He's a big thinker.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on 2 days in the life of Jesus. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM240C for CD or RM240D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
These truths that I'm sharing today, I tell you, they need to be heard all over the world, and I'm doing what I can. You know, we now have the potential of reaching 2.2 billion people daily with this Gospel Truth broadcast. We're only on one time a day in most places. We need to be on multiple times per day for saturation. There's a lot more that could be done, but it just costs a lot of money. We now spend over $600,000. It's closer actually to $1 million a month on television and radio airtime, and we need to be expanding. So I ask you that if you've been blessed and if you want to help me get this truth out, please join with us and become a partner today.